2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome on in to KSL's Unrivaled Thursday night. Hope you're having a fantastic evening. We're live here on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM, 1160 AM, and KSL News Radio app. A lot of different ways for you to take in the show tonight. We'll be taking you up through the next hour. I'm Mitch Harper, filling in for Alex Keery, and joining me tonight is Sam Farnsworth. We got a lot of great topics to get to this evening, but let's get right to it in the 805 Cut.
The Cut at 805. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
When will the NBA season return? It's one of the big questions, and that's where we start things off in the cut this evening. And like I said, KSL 5 TV's Sam Farnsworth is with me tonight. Sam, this is the first time you and I have done some radio together. It's going to be a lot of fun.
This is outstanding, Mitch. Little do our listeners know how far back we go. I mean, we've been on trips together, my man. We went to Tennessee together to watch but cover that BYU game. We drove from Salt Lake City together to Las Vegas for the college basketball tournaments this year and spent a little over a week together. And I just feel like this is this is supposed to happen. This is meant to be. Mitch Harper and Sam Farnsworth here on KSL Sports Radio here on 1160 and 102.7 FM. So good to be with you, Mitch.
It definitely is. And we even had family members that lived in the same neighborhood.
No kidding.
I mean, we go
full
way
circle.
Far back. But the NBA is a huge topic, Sam, yeah. And that's where we start things off in the cut. And Jazz fans everywhere, I think, you know, there's feelings of they want to see the team back in action.
Right.
But there's also a lot of questions as to when will the season start and what will maybe be the chemistry for this Jazz team, as there's so many questions surrounding that group. I mean, what do you kind of see is when we could see the NBA back in action?
Well, they're obviously taking the right steps. They're moving in the right direction. They've got another meeting coming up tomorrow between the commissioner and the Board of Governors where a lot of decisions will probably be made, although I don't expect there to be a final decision on, okay, we're going to start on this day, everything's going to get going. But it sounds like, you know, they've got the whole idea narrowed down to the bubble concept there in Orlando at Disney World, which I think is a great idea. You know, if you can't travel, if you can't have games at home venues, why not do something like this? I think it would be very similar to what we see in Summer League action in Vegas, or even, you know, when the Summer League's here in Salt Lake. But in Orlando, kind of that bubble concept, it sounds like things are going in the right direction for that. Now, the question is here, they've got to decide on how many teams they're going to bring down there still, if it's going to be a full slate, if they're going to narrow it down to 20, 24, somewhere in that ballpark, if they're going to seed teams and do a play-in to a postseason tournament, or if they're just going to get straight to a tournament. So there's little details here that have to be figured out. No matter what, I think everyone anticipates the Utah Jazz to be a big part of that when they get back, right? I've seen kind of mock seedings going on with the Jazz seeded to maybe go up against Houston already again for a tournament spot. And Jazz fans, I think what it comes down to is they're just going to be excited to see the team get back. Now, how is it going to be different? Obviously, there's no Boyan, right? He's had the wrist surgery. He's done. He's gone for the year. I think that was probably the smart decision, though. He's been playing with it hurt for a bit now. If the season would have returned earlier, could he have played through? Yeah, probably, but you have to look big picture into next season now already with how long this is going to. So Boyan's out. What about the relationship, Donovan and Rudy? Obviously, that was highly publicized, Mitch, with what went on with coronavirus and everything like that. Apparently, they've come to terms. They've put that behind them. They're ready to move forward. But the biggest question is, with this time off, and this doesn't just affect the Jazz, Mitch. This affects everyone. With how much time has been off, are we going to see anything similar to the teams that we saw during the regular season of the NBA that suddenly came to a halt back in March? Are these teams going to be anything similar to what they were when they do resume play here in Orlando? That's the big question, and I really don't think there's going to be an answer until we actually see them hit the floor.
Yeah, I really think, you know, some of the teams that have the older guys that are really financially secure. I know all NBA guys got a lot of money and they're all financially secure, but the guys that got the really big contracts, like a Mike Conley, like a LeBron James, where they got the home gyms, I think that's maybe going to give them like an upper hand, because there's other NBA players that probably don't have the huge, lavish home gymnasiums to work with. So maybe they've had some difficulties getting the spots. I mean, maybe in recent weeks, things have opened up a touch and they got more options at their disposal, and NBA teams are getting their facilities opened up as well. But yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to kind of see what these teams look like. I mean, I think you look at teams like the Milwaukee Bucks, who's atop the standings. They got to be, you know, in a situation where, like, are they going to be that same squad? We know Giannis is probably going to be great, but how is the rest of that group going to look, and the Lakers as well out west? I think there's got to be some sort of resolution, though, as far as when the NBA is going to resume and what the structure of the playoffs are going to look like in the next 10 to 14 days. Because we're now approaching 3 months where the NBA has made literally no money. And at some point, there's got to be a decision made. We're seeing other sports making a lot of progress. The NBA has got to make a decision, I think, within the next 10 days, I would think.
Yeah, and not only you know, the money being lost, but the longer you go without play, the more of an offseason it feels like. Joe Ingles is one of the guys who's been vocal about that in his podcast earlier this spring. He mentioned that the longer they go without playing, he feels like they're already in the offseason, right? There's other players. Yeah. Damian Lillard's been outspoken about it, saying, you know, if he feels like his team doesn't have a shot, then why would they resume play? Let's just hit the offseason. Now, obviously, we're talking about a team that's on the fringe, right? Portland's just on the outside of the eight teams in the Western Conference. So I think there's going to be several players probably that feel that way, that are teams that are maybe in the lower half of their conference that maybe don't feel like they have a shot at winning a title, if that's what you want to call it, is going for the title here. Is it worth their time to come back and be locked down in a bubble for several weeks or months to finish out a season in a tournament that they may not have a chance to play, to even compete in, really? I think there's maybe, you know, you mentioned Milwaukee and the Lakers and probably the Clippers, Raptors, Nuggets, maybe even the Jazz feel that they have a legitimate shot if they come back and put together a run. So there's a lot of questions that that will only be more amplified, I guess you could say, if they don't make a quick decision. Because the longer you go, the worse of a chance you have at having a quality product when you come back too, I feel. And NBA fans, I don't care who you are, if the product is not a good product, it's going to feel sloppy. I don't want it to feel like it's the beginning of the season or feel like it's even summer league. I want it to feel like they've had a whole season. Because what we normally see in the postseason is the best NBA basketball has to offer. And that's what I want to see if and when they come back. I believe they're going to come back. I believe decisions are going to be made quickly because they understand, like what you said, Mitch, they understand you can't push this much further without suffering more repercussions here. So you've got to come up with a, hopefully it's this weekend, they come up with a finalized plan here that they can vote on and agree upon and get going.
I think the NBA is definitely going to be back, and I think, you know, the playoff setup is going to be really interesting to see what it ends up looking like. I hope that it just ends up being best of seven throughout all each round, because that's what the NBA playoffs should be. I don't think it should be shortened, and I think, obviously, the TV partners probably want to have best of seven as well throughout.
Yeah, no doubt. It's got to be a good tournament or no tournament. Let's see what they come up with, you know, and And hopefully it happens. We're seeing other leagues. They've got to make decisions as well. Major League Baseball. We'll talk about that a little bit coming up, and maybe a little bit of what the state of Utah has been doing to reintroduce professional sports as well. We're going to take our first break, though, here on Unrivaled tonight with your fill-in hosts, Mitch Harper and Sam Farnsworth. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back in to KSL's Unrivaled. Mitch Harper, Sam Farnsworth, KSL 5 TV, filling in for Alex Carey and Scott Mitchell, who are still enjoying a much-needed vacation. So shout-out to those guys. Hopefully they're enjoying their break. You can join the show if you'd like. Feel free to text at the UCCU KSL text line at 57500. We also want to give a shout-out to our sponsor, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They make junk disappear. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Major League Baseball has been a fascinating conversation, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you enjoy some Major League Baseball from your days back in Denver covering the Rockies. It's probably felt a little bit strange not seeing baseball taking place right now during Memorial Day. First time since like the 1880s that baseball did not have action this past Monday on a Memorial Day. It's crazy not having any sports, but baseball especially. Right. During this time of the year. And man, I got to say, it seems like the virus is not the big hurdle for Major League Baseball. It's
not
a disagreement
anymore.
Over the money, and it could be a situation that gets real ugly for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it certainly can. You know, you talked about it. I mean, I covered the last 10 opening days for the Colorado Rockies. And when the spring came around, when opening day, first week of April came and went without baseball, that felt strange. And the further we get, the more strange it feels that we haven't even played a single game. And yeah, you're right. The coronavirus isn't the problem anymore. We're seeing plenty of other pro leagues move forward in one form or another with their with resuming play or beginning play. You know, I don't think the NFL is going to miss a beat other than skipping out on their OTAs and, you know, non-mandatory workouts right now. They're going to hit training camp in full stride and get going. NBA, as we talked about in the last segment, they're getting really close. We're seeing here locally the NWSL, you know, the Women's Professional Soccer League, they're getting going, and they're going to hold the whole tournament here in Utah at Rio Tinto and then over there at RSL Academy in Harriman. And so we're seeing leagues and all over the world. You know, we're seeing what they're doing in professional soccer in Europe and professional baseball in Asia. It's working, right? The big hurdle here with Major League Baseball is the pay. They want to cut the salary. They were talking about let's prorate the salary, which to me seems fair. Pay the players for what they're for the work they're putting in. But now they're wanting to add an additional cut on top of that. And you know, Nolan Arenado, a guy that I followed a lot the last few years in Colorado, he's one of those guys that's going to take a massive hit. Mike Trout, the guy who came up, played some minor league ball here in Salt Lake City, a massive hit. His prorated salary for the proposal that Major League Baseball was making would have been about $19 million for the season. And they want to cut that down to $6 million with the same amount of play. Now, I know Major League Baseball Players Association, they're going to counter and come back with a counter proposal to the MLB because they will not have anything. I saw Scott Boras saying something about to his players, don't let the owners win this thing. Don't back down from this. And obviously Scott Boras is going to say that. He's the agent. He's making the big money from these players as well. But I think the MLBPA wants to propose a 100-game season still. And I'm getting to the point here where I don't even envision how can you fit 100 games in at this point? You know what I mean? Unless they're going to play well into November, I just don't see that happening. They're going to have to find common ground somewhere, Mitch, but I don't know if that's going to happen. And the result is, in my opinion, Major League Baseball might not have a season.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, they rolled out this big grand announcement of, hey, we're going to get back to action maybe July 4th, and it seemed just so patriotic and seemed so American, but then the bickering back and forth, it's all about the money here with Major League Baseball, and I get it where an agent like Scott Boras is saying to guys, hey, Right. Don't just take the money in for 100 games of action, but at the same time, I'm like, there's so many people that have lost jobs during this pandemic.
Yes.
And it's like, hey, $6 million. No, it's not $30 million or it's not $19 million, but dang, it's still $6 million. And I just look at it and think, just play, just move forward. Let's play the games and make it happen. But you know, Major League Baseball, I think, has a lot to lose potentially here because if they don't have a season at all, I think it just sets that sport back even further. I find them falling even farther behind the likes of the NFL and the NBA in terms of interest.
Right.
Whereas, like, if they came back around July 4th, I think there'd be a great opportunity for them to really be at center stage and be one of the sports that everyone's just clamoring to watch again, because there's such a desperation to have sports again. They're really bungling this on all fronts, it feels like.
No kidding. If they're competing with the NBA and the NFL and college football come September, they're in trouble. They're in real trouble, especially if it's early in their season. You know, I think back to I remember the 1994 strike season when I was a kid. I thought the Expos, you know, they had a great season going in their favor that year. They were the top team in their division. It sounded like this team that usually isn't a competitor might compete for a World Series. Then the season just like that came to an end. And that really hurt baseball. That really hurt baseball. You think about it took a while to recover from that. And then you had Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire bashing balls. That helped recover. But then a decade after that, when everyone realized, oh, everyone's been using steroids, that hurt baseball again. I think you're right, Mitch. If they don't play because they're bickering over money and how to have some sort of a season, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt a lot from the fan perspective. I think fans still want to go to the ballpark because they like going there, but the interest level, especially from a television aspect, is going to dip substantially, and that's where a large portion of the revenue comes from. And we're starting to see it trickle down into the minor league systems even. You know, we're seeing the reports that minor league baseball is expected to release 1,000-some-odd players as a result of this now, because basically major league baseball teams, you have 40 players or less on a Major League Baseball contract with 25 on your game day roster and then the others in the minor league system. This is hurting not just from a fan standpoint, but maybe the future of the game as well. If a lot of these minor leaguers aren't going to have anywhere to play or work out or prepare, and on a local level where you've got the Ogden Raptors, the Orem Owls, and the Salt Lake Bees, you know, what's going to happen with those teams? Are they going to have a future? I obviously, at this point, I don't think there's going to be any minor league baseball played at all this year.
Yeah, minor league baseball is going to be impacted the most by far. And he's Sam Farnsworth. You can follow him on Twitter at SFarnsworthKSL. Mitch Harper, we're again filling in for Alex Carey and Scott Mitchell here, talking about the impact the COVID-19 pandemic's having on major league baseball, which, again, it's not just about the virus now. It's about money and the disagreement. It's having a huge impact on Major League Baseball, because sports are slowly coming back. Mm-hmm. We're starting to see signs of so many things, as you alluded to moments ago, but baseball is not getting their footing. And the minor league baseball story is interesting because, you know, that's kind of the heart of professional baseball. And right. If you impact that, it just could, I feel like the whole infrastructure that is Major League Baseball could be completely altered as far as we know it going forward.
You've seen plenty of other sports try, and I think mostly unsuccessfully, have a farm type system, right? Mm-hmm. Major League Baseball, you mentioned it. It's been the heart of the products. You know, all of those stars you see in Major League Baseball, they were a star at some small town somewhere once upon a time. When I was in Colorado Springs, I covered DJ LeMahieu for multiple seasons and Charlie Blackmon for multiple seasons. Those guys went on to win batting titles and become Major League Baseball all-stars. And there's something about going to minor league games. Even here in Salt Lake City, as a kid, I remember going to Buzz games.
And Denny Hocking.
Yes.
Torrey Hunter.
Yes.
David Ortiz.
Yes, exactly. Those guys and before them, when they first came to town, there's several guys that you could claim as yours, right? We're Utah guys. We saw these guys play in our backyard. Mm-hmm. David Ortiz is my guy. Torrey Hunter is my guy. Denny Hocking, he's my player. I don't care which Major League Baseball team he's playing for. I'm following him along the way. And so with no minor league baseball, it kind of hurts that that hometown feel to the game. Even though it's on a big stage, you can come from a small town and claim part of a player or part of a team because they came through your community and were a part of your community for a while. And I'm really going to miss that this year. And I hope everything gets worked out where we have a kind of a normal sense of minor league and major league baseball by next summer, because man, it's taken a big hit this year. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Maybe the owners can ease up on the whole thought of 100 games after July 4th, but
yeah,
I feel like the players ultimately got to come to agreement, just make it happen and agree to get this thing back on track. Because if they don't, I think it could have a huge impact like the 1994 strike did 25 years ago.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Well, we're going to step away again for just a few moments, but we'll be right back with more KSL Unrivaled right after this.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back in. Mitch Harper and KSL 5 TV Sam Farnsworth filling in for Alex and Scott tonight on Unrivaled. And we're having a great show. We're taking you all the way up to the 9 o'clock hour in talking some, we talked a little bit of NBA, Major League Baseball. Now we're switching over to some college football. We're only 98 days away till BYU and Utah kick it off up in Salt Lake City. We're still keeping our fingers crossed. Hopefully it's all business as usual. We get fans in the stands. And even that same night, Utah State hosts Washington State, a Power 5 game. So hopefully in 98 days, we're having a jam-packed Thursday night up and down the Wasatch Front talking some college football.
Yes, please, please, right? I mean, I think we're starving for any good sports content right now, but it seems like college football, with nothing that's been going on, it's been at the forefront of our minds a whole lot more. Because like we were talking about earlier, normally we're in the heat of the baseball season right now. You've got football teams with their OTAs going on, NFL football teams, the NBA finals is, you know, ramping up or close to that time where the NBA finals series is being. So we normally would have a lot of things on our minds, but with everything on pause, we've been, at least I know Mitch, I know you think about college football quite a lot, almost 365 of the year. But for me, it has been like right near the top of my mind almost every day. I just can't get enough. You know, you were able to chat with Kalani yesterday, which in that conversation is coming up on Saturday's Cougar Sports Saturday for you. But I mean, just listening to parts of that, Mitch, had me just going. I was like, all right, let's. Can we start the football season this summer? I let's do it.
I'm with you, Sam, because you can take away basketball, you can take away baseball, but if you mess with our football season, I'm going to lose my mind. So
no,
do not mess with the football season. And CBSSports.com put out a good content piece that gets the football juices flowing, gets you excited for the college football season. They rank the top 65 Power 5 head coaches. So no Kalani Sitake and BYU involved in this list. This is just the Power 5 coaches, and there's only one Power 5 program.
Some BYU fans would probably say it's a Power 5 program, though, right?
I would tend to agree. It looks and feels like Power 5, but, hey, the powers that be do not label BYU a Power 5, and that's okay.
Yeah.
So there's only technically one Power 5 program, and that's the University of Utah, and the highest-rated coach in the Pac-12 conference is up on the hill coaching for the youth on the sidelines. He's Kyle Whittingham. He checked in at number 11 on the list, right near some of the best coaches in college football, knocking on the door of the top 10. Is that a fair ranking for Kyle Whittingham? Should he have been higher, or is it too high, Sam? What would you say?
I think it's fair. I think it's very fair. When I'm looking at the rankings, Coach Witt is, I believe, one of the top college football coaches in the country. He's established himself as such, especially when it comes to the development of talent. We've seen what he does with a lot of these, you know, three-star kids that come into the program, cranks out several NFL draft picks by the end of the year, right? So I think what Coach Witt has been able to do from a wins-loss perspective, we've seen a slow yet, I believe, steady incline there. It's going to be interesting to see what happens this fall with the loss of how much talent moved on to the next level. But I think that's a fair ranking for Coach Witt. Where my eyebrows get raised a little bit is when I see some of the names that are in front of him a little bit. Like Ryan Day for Ohio State's ranked 10th. Okay, I get it. But one season, right? I kind of want to see a little more than that. Dan Mullen's a guy that I've kind of, I don't know.
Witt's better than Dan Mullen.
I agree. And Dan Mullen's there at 8, so.
Yeah, you look at the top 11 coaches, if you involve Witt, only Dan Mullen and Whittingham are the two guys that haven't won conference titles in their in a Power 5 league yet. Mullen really hasn't accomplished much. I think he's just gotten the benefit of working alongside Urban Meyer. I mean, he did some good things at Mississippi State, got him to that one season with Dak Prescott up to number one. But I'm with you. I think Dan Mullen's still a touch overrated to say he's at number 8. I think Whittingham belongs above Dan Mullen. But I would say with Ryan Day, Ohio State, that was probably one of the best Ohio State teams I've seen.
Yeah, it was good.
In many years, and you got to give Ryan Day some credit there. But still, to just put 1 year over the longevity of Whittingham, because Whittingham has, I mean, year 10 going into the Pac-12 conference this year, Utah is literally now one of the top programs in the conference. No one saw that happening. I remember when Utah was going to the Pac-12, I think a lot of people thought, okay, they'll kind of be like Arizona State when they move from the WAC to the Pac-8, Pac-10. It'll just be kind of decades of 7-5, 8-4, and that's about it. But they'll never threaten for a Rose Bowl. That's clearly not been the case. Utah's had many opportunities. They just kind of stumbled at the end. And that's going to be the challenge for Whittingham to really vault himself into the top 10 coaching conversation, is to get that Rose Bowl, get a Pac-12 title,
right,
and maybe even get into the college football playoff. Because if he does that, then, you know, I think there's no argument to go against him in terms of being one of the top 10 coaches in college football.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said about going to back-to-back Pac-12 title games, but they do, like you said, they do got to get over the hump. They've got to win a Pac-12 championship and get to at least that Rose Bowl, probably here in the next couple of years, to really kind of continue that trajectory, in my opinion. But I think one of the big things that reflects what Kyle Whittingham has done up there on the Hill since he's been the head coach, and I already talked about it a little bit, just the ability to crank talent out to the next level, to the NFL level. Since the year 2000, this is prior to this last year's draft where they had several others drafted, but going into this 2020 NFL draft, Utah had 60 draft picks since the year 2000. That's more than, and say what you want about these programs, but it's still more than Arizona State, Washington, TCU, Pitt, West Virginia, more than Virginia, more than Colorado, more than Baylor, more than Boise State, Georgia Tech. You know, those are other programs that catch the national attention. Utah's been able to turn out talent, and that's a direct reflection of Coach Whittingham and what he's able to do up there on the Hill.
It's just surprising with all those draft picks that it hasn't turned into one conference title yet, because I feel like there is still – part of me still feels like Utah is their ceiling in the Pac-12 is still a byproduct of maybe how much USC and Oregon is struggling. Because I feel like if USC and Oregon are rolling, they're going to be the elite programs. Even Washington, to an extent, historically, they are going to be the programs, I think, infrastructure-wise, that have more resources still than Utah. But you can't ignore what Whittingham has done. From 2005, he's just kind of continued to get better, and he didn't acknowledge when they went to the Pac-12, it was kind of like a new job for him, and it's been a building block every single year. And I'm really curious to see what they do in 2020, because schedule wise it looks like it sets up very nicely for not just a rebuild year. It feels like it's kind of a reload type year potentially based on the schedule, but there's got to be a lot of questions that'll be sorted out. You look at the rest of this ranking by CBSSports.com as they rank the Power 5 head coaches. The coaches in front of Whittingham, as you mentioned, Ryan Day at Ohio State, number 10. James Franklin, Penn State, number 9. Dan Mullen, 8 at Florida. Jimbo Fisher, Texas A&M. Jimbo, he's highly paid. He won a national title at Florida State, but I got to see a little bit more at A&M with Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, no kidding. That was the two names for me that kind of popped out ahead of him. I mean, I did say Ryan Day as well. So, but besides them, we're Dan Mullen and Jimbo Fisher at 8-7. Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like I want to see a little more out of Jimbo down at Texas A&M before you start ranking him as one of the top 10 coaches in the country.
Real quick, Kirby Smart, number 6 at Georgia. Brian Kelly, 5 at Notre Dame. That feels a little high, but he's a really good coach.
Yep.
4 at Orgeron. Lincoln Riley, Oklahoma, 3. Dabo, and then, of course, number 1, Nick Saban. Can't argue with the process. I think Bama's going to be back, probably potentially in the title again in 2020 if we see the season kick off as scheduled.
Yep. All right. Well, time is flying by here on KSL's Unrivaled tonight, but we're not done yet. When we come back, we've got more to talk about. You don't want to miss it. Stay with us.
All right. Welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. When you hear that sound, you know what time it is. It's buy or sell, and it's always brought to you by Free Online Trading Academy. Register now for a free 3-hour workshop at tradingacademy.com. Mitch Harper KSL 5 TV, Sam Farnsworth filling in for Alex Carey and Scott Mitchell here on Unrivaled. And before we get into buy or sell, Sam, what do we got on tap tonight on TV for Sports Beat real quick?
Well, one of the big local stories today, Mark Harlan spoke with the media, the athletic director up at the University of Utah. So we'll hear from him tonight. He was talking about, you know, when the University of Utah will resume practices. You know, we know BYU plans to do so on Monday, June 1st. But what about the U? The Pac-12 already said earlier they're not going to do it for a couple more weeks. Well, Utah, they do plan to open facilities for voluntary workouts beginning June 15th with a few, you know, added ripples to that whole scheme there. But we'll talk a little bit more about that tonight on Sports Beat at 6 and 10.
Yeah, so make sure to watch that on KSL 5 TV. But buy or sell, let's start things off with some NBA. The NBA playoffs, what it's going to look like, we still don't know quite yet. Hopefully we get some more answers to what the playoffs will look like. But many believe, Sam, that the kind of like the group stage or the play-in rounds that have been thrown out there could be maybe as a, quote, elaborate game to get Zion Williamson and the New Orleans Pelicans into the Walt Disney World bubble. Buy or sell that narrative?
Buy. I'm buying it. Yes. I'm buying this. You know, I think they would love for Zion, a guy who missed a majority of the year already with injuries, but has shown the flashes of what we saw from his high school days and from his Duke days. They want him in Orlando. They want him to obviously they need eyes. They want eyes to watch. And I think NBA fans are going to watch regardless. But when you got the athletic guys like Zion going into this as well, I'm buying it because Adam Silver, this is exactly what he wants. He wants this mini bubble tournament in Orlando to be kind of the blueprint for the in-season tournament that he hopes to have someday. He wants the season to start in December to kind of set the plate for what's going to happen down the road. Start the season in December every year, right? It's all playing into Adam Silver's favor here. I'm buying that he wants Zion in Orlando.
I'm with you. I'm buying this completely because I think the NBA knows there's going to be huge ratings behind this playoffs, and they need the next LeBron James to be that guy that carries the flag as being the superstar of the league. Zion's got all the makings to potentially be that, and you want all those eyeballs that are going to be watching the NBA to be watching Zion Williamson and the Pelicans. And I would say, too, if they get in, they have a chance to maybe be a team that could do some damage because they're young. You got Brandon Ingram, who was really good this year as an all-star. Lonzo Ball kind of still battling a little bit of injuries but coming into form. Kind of the baby Lakers plus Zion been a nice team this year for the Pelicans. I think they could do some damage, but no doubt the NBA wants Zion in there 100%. They're going to find a way to get him in the playoffs somehow, some way.
And if there's a way to get Zion against Ja Morant in that tournament, I think that's what they would love to have, and that would be a lot of fun to watch. All right, Mitch, buy or sell? I'm going to go with this one. Watching over 60 straight hours of the best Derek Jeter games on the MLB Network. What? You buy it?
Yeah, sell that for me. You know what? Hey, I love the gif of the little kid wearing the captain hat and saying thank you to Derek Jeter. That's all I need of Derek Jeter. Like, look, he's one of the all-time greats. I get all that. But 60 straight hours, like, no thank you. I can barely handle 3 hours of a baseball game
anymore.
Baseball
game, right?
I can't do 60 straight hours. I'm selling that to the high heavens. No thanks, Derek Jeter.
Yeah, I'll sell it as well. I'm a big baseball guy. I love baseball. Derek Jeter, I was a little hot and cold on him throughout his career, but when he came down to the end when he was retiring, I was on board with kind of seeing the farewell tour and things like that. I would buy maybe a two-hour special on Derek Jeter, a little mini documentary or something, right, to recap the career and those great moments, his final All-Star game, final game, final at-bats, whatever, you know, whatever they want to include in it. I would do that. But 60 hours, come on, you're killing me, Major League Baseball, MLB Network. That's just a little too much of one guy, especially the game of baseball.
That's a network that needs some content, and Derek Jeter's one of the few names that he registers an opinion, so they're turning into that well in bunches. Let's
Jordan only got 10 hours, right? Jordan only got 10 hours. How can you give Derek Jeter 60? Anyway.
This is now gonna spawn a new hit list by Jordan. He's gonna have MLB Network on his list. He's gonna say, "Why don't you do a documentary on my time with the Birmingham Barons?"
Look out! Here comes the 10-part Birmingham series.
Let's get to another buy or sell here. Reggie Bush, worried paying college athletes could, destroy some people. Now, some of this has been taken a little bit out of context. He did an interview with, I don't know if we can say this, producer Jeremy, if this is okay. He did it with Playboy magazine. I hope we're okay to say that. But then it's kind of some of the quotes got twisted a little bit. But Reggie Bush being the guy to say this could destroy some people if their foundations are not in place. You buying or selling this conversation?
I'm selling it. And it's hard. You know, maybe he's coming from a place where he feels like he learned from his own past, right? But it's kind of hard to buy that from a guy who kind of was that guy once upon a time. He got the money. His family got the benefits. You know, if this was coming from someone else, I don't know. But again, you pointed out maybe some of it was taken out of context a bit there. But Reggie Bush seems like one of the last guys I want to hear talking about this subject. So I'm going to sell it.
You know, I'm going to say buy. I think that this could potentially destroy some athletes because I think this could be their focus. In college sports, the name, image, likeness thing has been thrown around a lot. And I think it's a positive, but I think that I think it's a potentially a positive for athletes. But I think it really could destroy guys because that could be their primary focus. Yeah. And they maybe end up going to schools just simply because so-and-so car dealership or some booster is throwing out a bunch of money to get me to come to this school, and I'm not going because either the coaching relationships or the program itself. I think it just be where guys are just focusing simply on money. And part of me still wants to see that, you know, just collegiate element to college sports, but maybe I'm just being naive. But I do think that it could. I'm going to agree with Reggie Bush here, and I think it could potentially destroy some guys if they do not have, as he put it, that foundation in place and that support system with parents and family to kind of keep their focuses in line to make sure they can maximize their opportunities in college athletics.
Mac McClung. I'm just kidding. I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, Texas Tech, and I don't know. Anyway, all right. Do we have time for one more? All right. We have time for one more, Mitch, here. Buy or sell. The governor of Texas is saying that stadiums at 25% capacity, outdoor stadiums, are you buying they'll even be able to get that much, or does that sound low?
Yeah, I'm going to buy. I think Texas has been very on the forefront of this whole coronavirus pandemic. They were kind of ripped a little bit, them and the state of Florida, for some of the measures they were taking early on. But you look at the death counts and things like that, it's been very low compared to other states. So I'm going to say buy. I think that the state of Texas has done a really good job navigating the pandemic so far. So, yeah, I'm going to buy that commentary from their governor.
I'm going to buy it as well, Mitch. I think, and I'm hopeful that that's kind of a blueprint or maybe a foreshadowing of what we can see in the state of Utah, as well as college football starting on time with fans in the stadiums. Even if it's only 25% of fans to begin with, I'd be thrilled with fans in the stadium. It would be difficult to envision a football game at Lavelle Edwards Stadium or Rice-Eccles Stadium or Romney Stadium without any fans at all in there. So if we can get some of them in there, I'm all for it. And hopefully Texas is maybe leading the way in that regard. And maybe we can get even more than that. So I'm buying. I'll buy as well, Mitch.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And but like I keep saying, though, this is a good time in the sports world. If we're going to get shut out as fans, this is the best time to ever have that happen, because if this would have been 1991, I'm livid.
Yeah.
I'm freaking out to be shut out of the chance to watch my team in person. But with the HD TVs and the 70-inchers with the smart television sets, we can navigate this without any issues. Hopefully, us in the media, hopefully we get a chance to still go. But even if we can't, you know, we'll adjust and evolve and make sure to give you great content here on KSL's Unrivaled and TV and KSLSports.com.
That was a lot of fun, Mitch. That's our time, though. Mitch Harper, I'm Sam Farnsworth. I had fun with you, Mitch. Thanks for hopping on with me and letting me hop on with you.
Yeah, it's been a great time, Sam. Looking forward to Sports Beat tonight, and hopefully we can do this again.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, that's KSL's Unrivaled. Thanks for tuning in to 1160 AM and 102.7 FM.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.